By the time she was 24, Karen Carpenter, the singing sister half of the pop group The Carpenters, was rich and famous, notching more than a dozen hit records with her brother Richard.
And when the evening comes, we smile so much of life ahead.
Less than 10 years later, she'd be dead, the victim of heart failure brought on by anorexia nervosa. Arts commentator Joel Sandberg says three decades on, Karen Carpenter remains a musical enigma.
On one hand, today there are more than a half dozen websites devoted to the life and career of Karen Carpenter, and there are even several Carpenter's tribute bands touring both here and in the UK. On the other hand, Rolling Stone rated her velvety contralto voice only at number 94 on their list of the top 100 greatest singers of all time. And every person who enjoys the Carpenters as much as I do knows several others who don't. In fact, my entire household is divided on the issue. Not evenly divided, mind you. I love their music. No one else in my family can stand it. It reminds me of my junior high school days when the Carpenters soared to the top of the charts and these two diehard, acid rock-loving bullies taunted me one day to name my favorite group. I told them. They laughed and slammed me against the locker.
That is why all the girls in town follow you, all around.
But the fact remains that I'm not alone in my estimation of Karen's musical gift. Paul McCartney, for one, said that she has the best female voice in the world, melodic, tuneful, and distinctive. I've just been mesmerized for years by a voice that was as plaintive as it was powerful. Karen was born in 1950, 3.5 years after Richard, in New Haven, Connecticut. Richard was a musical prodigy from the start. Their parents moved the family to Downey, California in 1963, thinking that the recording scene there would provide good opportunities for Richard. But by this time, Karen had discovered her own love of music and the talent to go along with it, and it was Karen, not Richard, who got a recording contract first. She was just 16 years old. But the small record label had no money for promotion, so it was back to pounding the pavement for Karen and Richard, now as a musical duo.
Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me.
By 1970, they were riding high, having signed with A&M Records, seeing their singles burn up the charts, and picking up a few Grammy Awards. Most of her friends say that Karen was goofy, fun-loving, a caring friend, someone who craved stuffed animals and adored children, but that she also had serious personal issues. One was her struggle to feel loved and accepted by her mother Agnes, who, by many accounts, was a stern and difficult woman. At the same time, she seemed to crave independence, maybe even a reprieve from the Carpenters. After all, her workaholic brother called all the shots and insisted on a grueling recording and touring schedule. In 1979, Karen recorded a solo album with legendary producer Phil Ramone, but Richard and the executives at A&M didn't like the results and shelved it. Not long after that, she met and quickly married a real estate developer who hadn't told Karen, who more than anything in the world wanted to have children, that he had had a vasectomy.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
The one thing Karen knew she could control was her weight. And by the mid-70s, she was dieting obsessively. She sought help for anorexia, but apparently never devoted herself fully to a cure. Her mother found her dead on the morning of February 4th, 1983. Karen had been taking massive amounts of Ipecac syrup. So, while Karen Carpenter had plenty of heart, the medication she took was literally eating away at it day after day. Karen often said her all-time favorite Carpenter song was a number she recorded in 1976 called I Need to Be in Love, which actually seems like the theme of her life. One of the lines goes, "So here I am with pockets full of good intentions, but none of them will comfort me tonight." If nothing else, on the 30th anniversary of Karen Carpenter's death, those of us who got slammed against the locker simply for liking the Carpenters still have her music, her voice, for comfort.
The hardest thing I've ever done is keep believing there's someone in this crazy world for me.
Joel Sandberg is a freelance writer based in Connecticut.
Through temporary lives, my chance could come and I might never know. I used to say no promises, let's keep it simple.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.